Hello, world, man. Joining me live right now in living color, the main man, the professor, John Rufford. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good, brother. I love the in living color reference. I hope everybody gets that.
Hey.
I hope they get that. That's where Jim Carrey got to start.
Hey, Jamie Foxx, the whole group. Come on, man. You know
everybody,
me.
Come on. It's great.
You know
stuff.
Me. And, dude, so John and I rode in a car for around 16 hours, 40 minutes, and 32 seconds. I wasn't counting, but a long time. So we had so many great conversations and content, so we're bringing it. I'm going to throw out a Conor McGregor theory at the end of the episode. We just came back live from Island Fight 62. My main man was in the corner. We're definitely going to put a big light on it. Big, big light. Great event. It just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. These amateur shows are fantastic. But, John, if I could start, and if you're ready, there's UFC Norfolk Pass this weekend. We'll get into our girl Felicia Spencer in the co-main event, but there's just a major thing I want to get into. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cool. Okay, here we go. First, in any great conversation, you have to kind of give it a little lead, you know what I mean? And, John, that you can say, agree or disagree on this, that I'm maybe a overly positive person.
Most of the time, yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
A glass is usually always half full or three quarters full. I like to live life. You live once. I like to have fun. I like to not try to criticize, but maybe up, you know, when something bad happened. You know, hey, stuff happens to people. Everyone gets down, man. Like, I don't want to be that person that wants to keep on putting that person down. I would rather try to lift my hand down to pick them up. You know what I mean? That's just
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. You're that type of person. Absolutely. I agree.
So, I've heard some constructive criticism here in the podcast, one of the most buzzing podcasts, especially in the Southeast, especially MMA. Last year was fantastic. It hasn't even been a year yet. We're coming on a year, over 170 episodes. No one puts the content more than us in Fight Banaz. We're rolling. iHeartRadio loves us. We're rolling. So, but I do get a constructive criticism. And, you know, we're getting a little bit older, John. I feel like we're more mature. We're not going to the Ormond Powell, you know, eating McDonald's and shooting ball anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
So I'm like, okay, let me try to get on it. And they think, you know, I've heard it twice now that I'm a little bit too go lucky and I'm rooting for everyone. And maybe I should be a little bit more on it. Not as bad as Stephen A. Smith. I will never be that guy. But maybe I should, you know, put my foot in the ground. You ready?
So are we saying that our world doesn't like you being happy?
A couple
all
people.
The time? Like, you have to be mad at some point? You have to be upset? I mean, I get it. We're adults, like you said. We'll take the constructive criticism and we'll roll with it. We'll try to give you what you want. But I like you happy.
Thanks, bro. Me too.
You know, I think it's a good look on you.
Me too. But I am going to get into something. I am. So the names are so hard. I'm going to try it. And, you know, UFC Norfolk, it was the one before the co-main. It was the stoppage. One guy named was
Ion Cataliba or something like that. Cataliba.
And the other one was like Megama, something like that. But you know what I mean, right?
Makamechev or something like that. Yeah, I got you.
If you're listening to the podcast, you know. And if you don't know, it was the craziest stoppage. You know, it was big buzzing news out of Saturday night UFC Norfolk. What was happening? The guy kind of got hit or maybe rocked, but then he was, to me, kind of, if I could say, John, he was kind of playing with them. He wasn't giving everything out there, and he was like acting like he was rocked to maybe throw something. Is that right? Am I on the ballpark there?
Yes, okay. I agree with you. There's something that he looked like if he was playing possum or if he wasn't or what it was. It looked like he might have got rocked and thrown back. Like, who knows? Yeah, yes, but you're absolutely right on that point.
Okay, so here I go. I'm putting my foot on the ground. A lot of UFC fighters, people in the media has had a take or an opinion. So here is mine, and I'm doing it. I probably more than the next person, because I am happy-go-lucky, I respect the fighters and what they do 24/7 and train their bodies to get beat up year round and to cut weight and to go into the octagon or a ring or the cage. I respect them almost, you know, above anything. I have so much love for them. There's so many fighters, John, that you know have become friends and family, and it's just I have so much admiration for the fighter, right?
Oh, absolutely you do. 100%.
That shit pisses me off. I do not like people have died in the boxing ring in this calendar year. People could get hurt on beyond, you know, life-altering changes into the octagon. We don't know what's going to happen 15 years from now with CTE, with Matt Hughes and Randy Couture and Tito Ortiz. We don't know. And to me, the guy who's in the octagon, who's playing, the word right there that's kind of getting me aggravated a little bit, playing possum, the guy that's really, you know, not showboating, but just... I don't feel like he was taking it serious enough. I don't think he realized what he was doing. And I respect the ref who was like, no, like, you look like you were a walking zombie. You look like you were in The Walking Dead. So I respect the referee getting them like, no, I'm saving you here. You look absolutely rocked and worried, and you shouldn't be playing like that. This is not a game. This isn't a game with a basketball or a tennis, and everyone goes home and drinks cocktails at the end. This is life-altering shit that happens in that octagon, John. That's just real talk.
You're absolutely 100% right. I mean, we have watched many, you know, we watched many referees. I guess one of the most famous referees that everybody say, Mario Yamasaki, would either stop it too early or stop it too late, right? That was the guy. Was that the guy? Am I right in that?
No, you nailed it.
Stoppers, they used to get that. So as far as that goes, I agree with you that way. Okay. My next problem is that just as responsible as this fighter is, just as responsible as both fighters are for their well-being inside the octagon, the ref is the ultimate person that's looking out for both of them when they're doing something crazy, because fighters are going to want to fight till the end, right?
Always.
We all know that. I mean, for almost 90% of every fighter will tell you that, yes, I want to go out on my shield, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So with that, you know, there's got to be somewhat of a responsibility to the referee. If you know that you have been given the match, that two people that you're on the main card, co-main event, and you're the person reffing it, you have plenty of time that night. And I don't say that you're not doing other stuff throughout the night, but even if you didn't have time a couple of days before, they didn't give you the schedule of who you're going to be reffing till the day of, you have time to look up that fight, those fighters. Okay. You have time to be able to watch a little bit of good or bad in them. And what I would be watching is how hard, what they do when they finish somebody and what happens when they're getting finished. Do you see what I'm saying here?
Right,
do you see
right.
what I'm trying to get at?
I see it.
What I'm saying is like, I'm not, I completely understand your concept of this is not a game. Don't be playing. Because if you play and it goes the wrong way, this is what happens. And this is your fault. You know what I mean? As you playing possum, I can see that. But also as a referee, if you know your sport and you know that there's strategy that comes into this more than anything else, more than people could ever imagine, strategy comes into this game. I think it's your due diligence and responsibility to look up the fighters that you're about to be, you know, how do I want to say it? About to be, you know,
working
in the middle, yep. And find out if they play games, if they do certain things, what are their ticks? What do they like to do a little bit? And like I said, most refs only do 3 to 4 fights in a night, I think. If I'm speaking correctly, I may not be, but it's not like, you know, on a small amateur card show where it's just two refs and they're going back and forth the whole entire night, right? There's a break for most of them that are in the middle ring. They have time to look up their next match just for a minute to do their due diligence of research per se, or, you know, do their due diligence in, as far as, you know, understanding who it is that's going in, they're going in to be the third man for.
Right, right.
If you look up Ian Kutlebe, he's always extra. They even say that, you know, on his weigh-ins. He's a little bit extra. He does a little bit of things. So when he puts into a game plan and plays a little bit of possum, he's probably going to play it more than the next person plays possum. The other person might freeze and act like they're going down and then come back. He literally gave you 3 or 4 wobbles in the middle of exchanges, right?
Right.
Like, we saw that. That's what we were looking at going, wow, is he rocked? Is he not rocked? What the hell's going on? You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. And just real quick, and John, with that, I definitely want to let you finish. But okay, so if he gives it a little bit more, what happened if he ran to him, and that's happened in the cage? Remember Carlos Condit, Tyrone Woodley, right? And he gets hit, and he grabs his ACL, and he's like, and he's playing possum. He's playing, and the referee jumps in the way, and then he pops up and goes, no, what are you doing, ref? I'm playing here. You know, there's some things you can't play. There's some things you can put up. You can't play that you're getting knocked out when you get hit in the face. There's just some things you can't do inside that octagon.
And I can see that. If you're grabbing a ligament, if you're grabbing something like that and playing possum that way, you know, that's a little bit I think different. I think it's a little bit different. You know, that's where you're really playing into the game hard, and it's a thin line we're walking right here on either side of it. You know what I mean? You know, playing to a strategy, playing to a game plan. Maybe you saw something in films before that when you played just a little bit of possum, this guy went ham, and you saw that's where the openings came in at. I can't fault you for that if that's what you're trying to do. This game is chess, not checkers. But at the same time, you also got to – maybe you need to relay that to the ref. Be like, look, you know, if we're in the right. middle of an exchange and I look like I'm about to – if I'm wobbling because I'm going back – Give me the benefit of the doubt for a second, because it might be playing into my game plan. Maybe you need to let the ref know that.
I do get that, and that's kind of, and I kind of get it. But then there's just some things, right? Like you can't, when you get punched in the face, you know, give me a knockout. I don't know, Jeezy. You know, when Georgi Masvidal kneed Ben Askren down, and Ben Askren fell down, like. You can't play possum. Like, that's the moment. And I'm not saying it was that bad. It was just the only knockout I could think of off the top of my head right now for some reason. But the man got, like, kind of head kicked and then punched to the face. And that's where knockouts happen, when, especially in the light heavyweight against these monsters, the guy is 13 or 14 and 1. The guy's a complete killer. The guy wrecks your face. You can't go wobbly. That's the moment you can. If you want to start the fight off like that, or if you want to... when you're on the ground and something, like, I don't know. And that's what I mean. I'm really against the playing part in the octagon. There's just no playing. This is just, yeah, I don't want my firefighters, when they're throwing and, you know, having the hose inside a house that's burning down and they're saving cats and trees, I don't want them playing. Off air and, you know, what they do in the house and fighters in training camp, man, have the time of your life. When we're driving a Pensacola for Island Fight 62 and we're about to get into it, let's have laughing. Let's talk about heavyweights and talk about King Kong and let's have some fun. But when we're in the ring, I guess I don't know why I kind of turned that switch so quickly. I'm a serious dude. I don't like bullshit and I don't like games inside that ring. I just respect it too much.
And you're absolutely right. You're not wrong by saying that. I think what this comes down to is the bottom line is if you want to play that game, then you better hope your ref is the ref that's going to let you play the game. If it's not that game, well, then you're taking your chance and the chance of the ref stopping the fight into your own hands. And you just have to understand that. Right. And I think that's just the way to go about it. I don't think you're ever going to stop either one of these. I don't think you're going to stop, you know, refs from trying to protect the fighters just as much as they let you know, one of them get pummeled until blood is splurting all over the place and they're, you know, essentially their face is part of the mat. I mean, we've seen stoppages, you know, take way too long, but we've also seen them take way too early. I think in the game, I completely agree with you, there should be no playing. You don't play boxing. You don't play MMA. You do it. You don't play it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
But I think what we have to chalk it up to, because I completely understand your side, and you're so right when it comes to it. It's too serious of a game to play possum. You know, it's one thing if you're actually hurt, and then the person rushes you, and then you fire back a bomb and knock them out. It's one of those things. If it's a Pete Sell match versus the dude's name back in the old UFC heyday,
God, I
when
love
he got
that
hit
fight.
To the body,
yeah.
and then he comes yeah. with an overhand right to knock Pete Sell out. I mean, if it's something like that, that's one thing. He's right. not playing possum. He's really hurt. He just happens to come out of it and hit the guy and, you know, in time.
Right.
I think if you play this game, you have to realize what you're playing. You're gambling on your win. You're gambling on that this is going to work out and everyone's going to see it. And because if you play possum too well, you know, next thing you know, the fight's over. And you're getting looked at medically because people think you're really rocked. And you're like, no, I wasn't. Nope, sit down. Let's look at you.
Right.
Let's take a look. Because right. you are playing, you are participating in a sport that can literally kill you.
100%,
so it's
man.
One of those things. It's and with the amount of deaths that have been in boxing lately and things like that, it's been a lot more in everyone's face, just like you said, CTE, all that kind of stuff. I think what we have to chalk this up to is, sorry, buddy. Sorry, Ian Kutalebe. I completely understand that you're upset about the stoppage. Everybody understands that you're upset about the stoppage. We literally saw you afterwards. You know, you look completely fine. I get what you're doing. But I just think that unless you tell the referee ahead of time, and whatnot, and even then I don't think it matters. I just think it comes down to the point where he's gonna have to look and see during the action what he sees. If he's an experienced ref, maybe he lets that go a little bit quicker because you're intelligently defending yourself still, still throwing back shots. You're not really getting hit a lot. You're getting hit in exchanges, but you're not getting like knocked off balance too bad, because every time he wobbled, it was when he wasn't getting hit.
It's crazy. But John, let's keep this train going. There's so much and there's so little time. You know, me and you, we can go for 7 hours. We did. Dude, a stat card. Jordan Griffin had a really sick submission guillotine in the second. Our boy Luis Pena, American top team. I'm telling you, give this man 2 years. One of the biggest names in the sport. It was a great card, but I really want to go. You know where I'm going with this. Right to the co-main event. Our friend, she's been on the podcast multiple times. Felicia Spencer looking like Tito Ortiz in his prime. Ground and pound, massive elbows, getting the work done. I will give you the floor. Did she do enough? Did she earn? Did she deserve that mysterious title match against the greatest female fighter alive, Amanda Nunes?
I mean, sure, she won it, but so did Meg Anderson win it. But, I mean, then you go put them head-to-head. Who won that last one? Felicia. So you give it to Felicia, right? But she had her last title shot against Cyborg, or the number one contender against Cyborg, and lost, right?
Right.
So, but Cyborg's no longer there, so technically she should be the number one. So, yeah, give it to her.
Okay.
That's fine. Then give it to Meg. Right. After that, I'm fine with that.
Okay, cool. Cause
however you want to do it, you know what I mean? That's fine. But either way, they're both going up against a freak.
Yeah.
And she's a monster, she's a killer, and she's the greatest women's mixed martial artist for a reason.
And this is where I kind of wanted to take that. And I talked to Felicia already. You know, we're going to get her on the show very soon. So excited. You know, she's pumped. And I love her game. Great person. She just got married to her boyfriend for 5 years. I'm all into it. I love what they're doing. If I had one little inklet that I would say, Felicia, GSP, you know, literally after winning, got on his knees and said, Dana White, I want this title shot. Like, if I was Felicia Spencer, I would have grabbed the microphone from Joe and said, hey, Joe Rogan, you're the second best podcast in the world. Fight Bananas is number one. No disrespect, but it's my turn here. Amanda Nunes, I want my title. Like, that's it. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. There would be no debate. You and I would already be talking about the main event. This debate of who's next could have been just signed, sealed, and delivered that night. And they asked her the question, and she said a kind of honest answer. She was just like, yeah, you know, I think I did enough. That's what I want. It's like, I get it. And she's a great person, and I think it's almost she's too good of a person to have played that role. And I, you know, I'm not saying she goes total heel. I don't think she should go to the Macho Man King Randy Savage and become a bad guy. But you got to have a little fire. You got to have a little pop. You got to say, Amanda Nunes, that's my title. You haven't even defended it. I'm the 145-pound division. Yes, you can fight me. You're allowed to fight for my title. You know what I mean? Like, she should have took it.
I mean, if you're in this industry for a reason, if it's a title shot and you're in that type of category, and you know that you're the only one pretty at the top of the heap, then yeah, you should be trying to call your shot, call it the most logical way. And as far as that goes, and I think you're right. I think that would have been the best situation for her would be to call out that and demand it, say, this is my division, you're just a guest here, whatever, yeah, all that good stuff. That's right. Great. That would make for a wonderful fight.
Right.
My question to you is, because I didn't get to see the post-fight interview, what did Meg say after hers? What did Meg Anderson say after hers?
No, she was a little bit more aggressive. She goes,
she was a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I'm the only fighter in this division on a winning streak. And she is right. She goes, I earned it. You know, I'm the fighter who, you know, because she had the knockout TKO. You know, mm-hmm. she looked good too. And, you know, she looks good, beyond the octagon. She has a great look, the tattoos, the length, all that. So, like, she has this it factor about her, but her and Felicia fought and she lost. And not that with Felicia, with, Jose Aldo lost. He's fighting for the title. Yoel Romero lost his last one. We're about to get into the fight breakdown next show. He's about to fight Izzy. Like, the UFC, and I do respect that a little way, and I'm kind of against the crowd, I think, on it, John. Losing is okay. I don't want you to get knocked out. I don't want you to get Starch City like Jose Aldo did to Conor McGregor. But Felicia was in a 15-minute war with Cyborg and never stopped moving forward. So she lost the 15-minute contest to Cyborg, but that night she didn't lose. She became a bigger star than what she went into the octagon. So with that momentum, she has to be next. She is the division. And you know, we'll, hey, if that fight happens next, we'll get into the debate who's going to win and all that will happen. It, but I just think Felicia Spencer versus Amanda Nunes is the match you got to make. That's it.
I mean, you know, I'm not trying to say this to anybody, but usually when someone is more aggressive, the call out, I understand Felicia's personality isn't that way. She fights, you know, and she earns everything she does. Not saying that somebody else in the division hasn't earned that. I'm just saying, like, usually the more aggressive fighter with it will want it, will get it, because there's a little bit more oomph behind it. Like you said, you know, I think if Felicia goes out there and would have said, you know, demanded it, she would have been the easy pick, you know, to do it, especially with the different type of styles that they combat. Hers being, you know, awesome on the ground, unbelievable, great control, wrestling, takedowns, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's a different type of fighter than Amanda Nunes sees, you know, normally. You know, a lot of times she's up against a striker, you know, or whatnot, or a brawler per se, and she goes that way. My whole thing is here is, if you're not calling out the champ after you have a performance like that, do you really want the champ right now? Or in the back of your head, do you think that you need a little bit more time? Because we are talking about the greatest female mixed martial artist on the planet, essentially the greatest female fighter to ever walk the planet.
No, you're right. But if I kind of, like, I hate, you know, I'm not this person, I kind of have inside information, I feel like. I've talked to Felicia off air. I talked to her at the Jungle in Orlando, Florida. She wants this fight. She wants it. Okay. She thinks she's going to win this fight. She is going to win this fight. I think what you just said, she nailed it. Amanda can brawl and punch and all that stuff. More than anything, she's the greatest. I've been arguing with everyone, John. Not maybe best female. She might be the best fighter, period. Forget sex. But I just think the one weakness that she might have, the one little, you know, chink in the armor, is Felicia's, like, number one strength. It's just sometimes it's matchups, especially in the fight game, my man. You taught me that more than anyone. It's best
matchups,
fighter.
Matchups make it. Matchups right. make it.
And I think this is a great matchup for Felicia Spencer. I think this is perfect. I think this sets her up to be the new champion.
Okay, it does help. I mean, she's going to get it. You're going to get someone that's more engaged with you on the ground, as in Amanda Nunes. You know, Cyborg's not going to want to go to the ground at all. So you try to take her down, she's going to keep it up. You know what I mean? Amanda Nunes, I think, wouldn't care. I think you'd see a little John Jones in her, and she'd go down the ground because she's a black belt. Mm. You know? And, you know, as every Brazilian black belt of BJJ, of, you know, black belt of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, they're usually extremely confident in their ground game, especially against another country's fighter.
Right.
They're usually 1,000%, you know, oh, I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and I'm Brazilian. I'm you know, I'm not worried about my ground. And that's, you know, we understand why that is. You know, we get it. They like to go to the ground. You know, it was born there, one of the greatest martial arts ever, you know, created. You know, came out of Brazil, and, you know, that's the home of it. But she is still a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, and she is a bad girl on the ground, and she defeated, you know, a lot of people in her early age with her own ground and pound. So I know she's become an elite, I guess you could have to say elite striker, because of what she's been doing, you know what I mean, to other elite strikers in those divisions. But it's a tough one. It's a great matchup. I actually like that matchup a little bit more than I like the matchup with Meg Anderson, because it gives us a little bit more.
Ground versus.
There's a little bit more to it. There's a little more substance to the fight. I don't think Meg's going to go to try to go to the ground. I think she's going to rely to that length and that power and try to fight Amanda.
Me too.
And, you know, we're back up to another Holly Holm, you know, Amanda Nunes fight where they're just essentially kickboxing the whole fight.
Okay, so if I can, so I'm keeping rolling. So I don't even want to talk about the main event and who won. There's almost a bigger picture, bigger thing that happened in that. Dude, the man missed weight by 3 pounds in a title fight, main event in a card. John.
And he refused to try it. Didn't there was a report saying he refused to try to cut any more weight for that extra hour?
Yeah, he didn't do the hour, man. He didn't do it. Like, okay.
I don't. Bro, didn't really want the title then. That's why I'm looking at it.
Bro, the amateur level, people are grinding. People have jobs, families. The diet plans are different. Money is different. I get it. I get that. When you turn pro, it's still pretty, really tough on the regional scene. You and I know that. We know friends and family through it. We get it. My man has fought in the UFC. My man is 17-1 going into the fight. I don't want to get into anyone else's money. That's their own thing. But he's had the means necessary to eat right, to train right.
Let's put it this way. You're 100% right about that. But even if you didn't have the means to, you were about to fight for the title that was going to give you the means to. So one way or another,
right?
No matter what, you need to make that happen. This is the title you've been waiting for your entire fight career.
Yes. Yeah. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. And then you ready for this one? I'm going to throw out a number for you. 2020. You know, we're in March now. Crazy. Unbelievable.
So fast.
Three fighters have missed weight that have went on to fought the opponent they're supposed to on that given night.
They've all won, right?
They've all won.
It's because of that big thing that we talked about before. Missing weight is essentially cheating in a slight form of fashion, depending on how much you're missing it by, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? If he missed it by a pound, I would say that meant nothing. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie. If somebody comes in at 125 and then somebody else comes in at 126, that is whatever. Okay. I don't care. Unless it's a championship fight, I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, he missed weight. No, 126 allowed. He makes that. Everything's, you know, crispy and golden. That's not a big difference. The reason I say that the 3 pounds or the 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds, whatever it was, is a big difference, because that means that when you say you don't want to try to cut that weight anymore, that means you've hit the bottom. You've hit the bottom where you know you're going to overexhaust your body to the point that you are going to now be, you know, giving up too much in your eyes. You know what I mean? As far as your health goes or as far as your energy level goes. Well, buddy, if you want the title, that was your fault during the training camp, right? There was something happened there. Maybe it's not your fault. Maybe it's just, you know, happenstance and life happened. But if you want the title, you still got to do what was set in front of you, and you didn't do it. So you not taking the extra hour to even try lets me know that you were at rock bottom and you weren't willing, or you weren't at rock, or you were close to rock bottom and weren't willing to hit rock bottom.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? If I say it correctly that way, I think that's what it comes down to. And because of that extra energy, Joe went and killed his body, dropped him down those extra 2 pounds. Well, what if Joe would have waited at 2 extra pounds? Maybe he would have had a little bit more energy. Maybe he didn't spend the last 30 minutes in the hot tub or the sauna, you know, that day or the night before, and he got to rest longer. He got to rehydrate a little bit more. You know what I mean? It was a little bit easier for him. He may be able to take more punches than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it definitely cheats. You know, it's a cheating way in a sense. And I say it's more cheating in professional MMA than it is in amateur MMA. And I only say that because you're getting paid. Okay. And when paychecks come into play, when living comes into play, you know, it's one of those things. There's no testing being done in an amateur MMA. There's testing being done in pro sports, right? So that's where I say that becomes a little bit of a cheat. In amateur MMA, you don't know who's on what. You don't know who's going what. The rules are all over the place wherever you travel. Shit like that. It's not regulated as good as it could be with every other, you know, amateur sport that's around. So if you're in the UFC, you're fighting for the title, I don't care what the problem is, you got to make weight. You just have to. Other than that, you're cheating. You didn't put yourself to the body to the limit that the next guy did, whether it was a bad weight cut, not a bad weight cut. You lost 30% of your purse. You knocked $25,000 off your championship pay from Reebok. You got a chance. Now your next paycheck isn't going to be nearly the amount it should have been, because you should be wearing a gold strap around your belt. Waste, and now you've just ruined your money. Like you said, you don't want to talk about somebody else's money. Well, that's all we know he lost. What else did you lose? Did you lose sponsorships because of this? Did you lose, you know, are you going to get another shot at the title because of this at any point? What else did you lose that we don't know about? That's the money, not on the money side, right?
Right. You ready for a good reference? You ready? That's rock bottom. When life makes you mad enough to kill, rock bottom. When you want something bad enough to steal. What's that?
Rock bottom.
That's that Eminem track, man. That's old
That's
school,
right,
there.
Man. That's what I'm saying. It's like you hit the nail on the head right there, man. It's like you got to get to that point, and if that's what you're trying to get to, that's right. It. Maybe he just didn't. Maybe it wasn't in the cards for him this time. Maybe he didn't want it that bad enough.
It's just man. That just it wrecked me. And I'm a big Joe fan, big Joseph Menavini's fan, and I predicted he was going to win. It didn't go that way. Hey, you know, I'm not going to make excuses. It is what it is. The man missed weight by 3 pounds. One, it kills me. But we got to. we really do got to hit on it. We were there both live. You were in the corner. You were being the professor live and in person. Always great to see. Island Fight 62, man. I'm going to let you take it. And then, you know, big highlights of it, something that jumped at you. There's definitely one or two things I really want to hit on. And then, you know, we'll say a really funny quote or a joke. And then we'll let the people go back to their lives.
Island Fights was awesome again. We had a couple unfortunate circumstances with our fighters, injuries at the last minute, you know, that two of our fighters weren't able to compete, but, you know, they'll be back stronger. They'll be there. There you go. I just got to make sure the health is the most important part. But other than that, man, the fights were good. There were some entertaining ones. There were some crazy ones that I just didn't know what was going on, but it all makes for a great show. Saw the largest human being in a boxing ring I've ever seen in my entire life.
Thank you. Thank you.
During that one, I'm just going to – Stanley Tippett, you are a large human being, sir.
Guys, okay.
You are a large, large human being, and it was a fun match coaching against you. Hats off to you with the W. My boy Justin put in a hella work against him. And
he did.
Stanley put in hella work against Justin, but when one man 6'1", 250, and another man 6'5", 337 – that's a hell of a clash.
He was 337. He didn't eat for 36 hours. That man, Stanley, and I he's an athlete too. Well, that man was moving around the ring. He was moving around.
Not taking anything away from Stanley Tippett. Nothing at all. But Jesus, man, you're a large human being.
Yeah. Wow. So that caught us. Of course, we drove home with Justin, a hell of a fighter. He had a lot of respect by, I know, the promoter and the matchmaker, so hats off to Justin. We all know he's going to be back. Great fight. He won the third round. Telling you guys, go on Fight Bananas YouTube channel and watch that second round. The second round was closer than what people think. Stanley won the first, but no, hats off to Stanley. Great fight. Kind of moving up the card, there was a the knockout of the night, knockout of the year.
Yeah, that was a fantastic knockout. I forget the young gentleman's name.
Kevin Royce. Carl Black. Kevin Royce.
Put together. I heard secretly he's actually a really, really extremely good wrestler. So I think we're going to see him in MMA, but this was a boxing match and he showed that he had hands and he had some pop.
Right. This is his third knockout in a row. I talked to him last night. He kind of came in, you know, dressed up in Pokemon, and, you know, he kind of looks a little, with his hair, and he kind of has a smile, and he looks like, and then the other, Carl Black, looks like a straight-up, you know, killer. Looks like Terrence Crawford, and I'm like, okay, this is a match make. And someone sitting next to me, they're like, hey, no, Royce has got real pop. Boom. In the first round, if you haven't seen it, go on Facebook on Fight Bananas, Instagram on Fight Bananas Official. Check it out. It was the knockout of the year so far. Wow. Check it out. Moving up the card, I really want to go straight to the main event. There was awesome kickboxing matches, two female kickboxing matches that were awesome. But the main event, my man, was insane. Insane match of the year so far. Eddie Price versus Jacob Brown in the bantamweight division. Three rounds of war. Razor sharp decision. And I'm not going to, like, there's no reason to hit on it. Just both men, especially in the amateur level, great work. Amazing lessons learned. 15 minutes inside that ring, dealing with grit, dealing with setbacks, dealing with both men were taken down. Both men got hit hard, hit well. Like, it's great knowledge. They have something in that tank now. They have something that maybe their opponent next will not have. So hats off to Dean Toole, Island Fights, Devin Adams, everyone else there. It was just a tremendous show, my man.
It really was. It was fun. Always enjoy it. You know, enjoy the car ride with you, my guy, all the time, talking up new topics, everything. Essentially, the car becomes a lab for us. So it's a great trip. Always love spending time with the fams up there and everything like that. It's awesome. We love it. Another great show. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Can't put enough on. Just a lot of talent coming out of this Florida and this southern area.
Absolutely. The Sonny's Barbecue is one of the greatest meals I've ever had in my life.
Shout out to the Sonny's Barbecue in Pensacola, Florida, street that was. That was the best Sonny's Barbecue I've ever had.
It was amazing. Do you have one last second for the Carter thing, or should we save it for another show? You tell me.
Let's go.
Okay, here we go. The last thing, guys, thank you so much. Keep on following us, iHeartRadio, subscribe, like, rate, send it to a neighbor, an enemy, whatever you want. But we're going to close the show on this. It was a great talking point. John and I went over an hour with it. I loved it. And we're just going to get the brass knuckles out of it. I threw out Conor McGregor. It's 2020. And I go, John, do you think Conor McGregor, the face of combat sports right now, do you think he will have a fight in 2025? Do you think he will be a part of the UFC plans? Will he come back, make a GSP kind of return? Will he be in a bare knuckle ring? A boxing ring versus Floyd one last time? Do you think Conor will be around in 2025 in a fight? My man, take it away.
We had time to think about it for a minute. You know what I mean? You've asked that question to me on the car ride. I said one thing. I'm going to stick to it for the most part. I think Conor will be, for the most part, retired by that time. He will never be in a bare knuckle boxing match. Let's just all get that right now. He ain't that stupid. He ain't never going to. I'm sorry. You're just stop reaching for anybody who owns a bare knuckle organization. Don't think about Conor. It's not happening. Red Panty Night is not happening for anyone in that with that type of fight. It's not happening. All right. He's going to walk away with money, way too much money before all that happens. But as far as being in a fight, I feel he might be in a fight now, but I think it'll be a celebrity type of fight, kind of like a Conor Mayweather type of thing. Maybe him coming out of retirement to fight, you know, a welterweight, you know, kind of set up the same way, like GSP with Bisping. That was, to me, more like a celebrity fight. I never thought GSP was going to stick around after that. I thought that was just to win a belt and get the hell on. And the person to win the belt against was Michael Bisping, because I think if anybody else had that belt in the middleweight category, he might not have thought that. You know what I mean? He realized Michael Bisping's age, their similarities in competing around the same time, the skill sets and everything like that set up right. So I think Conor's the same type of person when it comes to calculating like that and making the most of it, kind of like Mayweather did for his whole career, knew when to fight Canelo, picked his shots, you know, the opponents he wanted to, lined his career up beautifully for himself. As he calls himself, the A side, Conor will always be the A side in MMA. I don't care if the guy has a belt or doesn't have a belt, he'll always be the A side. He's just the largest superstar, you know, in combat sports right now. Again, he'll have some type of celebrity come out of retirement type match. Other than that, he will be involved in the UFC and he will be helping promote the UFC throughout, because he will end up buying part of the company. I can just see it.
Okay, so I feel like I brought you to the dark side, because I was not even 90%. I was 100%. Yes,
you did. You did it again.
Okay,
you
I was did like, it again. For one, Conor. If you see every video, it's on Netflix's Notorious show, all the behind the scene, all the embedded, everything, you know, with his family and kids and wife and everything like that. At the end, when he falls asleep, when he puts his head on the pillow at night, he's a fighter. That's just who he is. God put that in him when he was born 31 years ago. Conor McGregor, through it all, is a fighter. And I will believe this. He will find a way to keep on, you know, fighting. Yeah, guys, he's not fighting three times a year for the next 5 years. I get that. He's not going to be doing this. But, yeah, I agree. He's going to come back and, you know, shoot, he's going to box, you know, Crawford 5 years from now. He's going to come back and he's going to fight GSP or, you know, Nate Diaz,
in 5 years, if Mayweather can make Crawford's weight, I'll take that.
Right, and this is the other kind of thing I thought of, too, my man, was – and maybe I'm wrong on this. I have Conor McGregor's name, the UFC, his name, like a Derek Jeter in the Yankees, Tom Brady in the Pats, Jordan, LeBron, and Floyd Money Mayweather. All these guys go long. They go into their career. Conor is 31 years young. 31. Like, he's just going to be 36 years old. Like, that's – look at the fight game. DC is still doing work. The man's over 40. I just think he's
Jordan Romero's 42.
And he's about to win the middleweight champion of this world.
That's for another podcast.
Yes, sir. you know, man, I just think Conor is too good. He's too big. One fight a year. His name has so much merit to it. A comeback fight. You know, hey, they haven't, you know, I know they're doing a Dublin show. I don't think it's this soccer stadium. Maybe, you know, if he's gone for 2 years. And I just say, okay, Masvidal and Conor never fight this thing. They never do it. You know, BMF and welterweight, they don't connect. But 3 years from now, they both kind of fizzle out and kind of, you know, walk away. They're both in their 30s. They both have had fights and fights. And kind of what happened with Floyd and Manny, both of them are at the Fight Bananas Awards show. And they just kind of look across the aisle and magic. And there's just a spark. Something happens. and it just builds and builds, and them to come back for one last fight. I just think there's too many possibilities in the fight game. You never say never, and you especially never say never to the notorious Conor McGregor.
Yeah, you got me. He'll probably fight till then. It's just, it's like when we were talking about it, it all your points are excellent. I could see all of that happening. It's just when you look at the landscape of MMA, you know, 5 years ago, it was so different than this 5 years. You know what I mean? So it's one of those where that's where I'm putting my money on that rather than it being the fact that, you know, Conor is just going to stick around and last that long. I think it'll depend on the landscape of it.
Right. And he really could pull a GSP. He could have this fight season, 2021, have one boxing match and then literally just go away. Proper 12, and he can kind of promote other fighters, Sean O'Malley, blah, blah, blah. And then Sean O'Malley wins 10 more fights. He's the best, you know, lightweight in the world. He moves up, and Conor versus O'Malley, kind of with that, all that swag that O'Malley has, a little bit like Conor, and then boom, he comes back out of retirement and fights. I just think it's in his blood.
There's a lot.
There's too many possibilities. You know, there's, I don't know, there's like 35 Star Wars movies. Good things never die. Good things just don't go away, you know?
Legends never die.
Wow, Sandlot. So we had a Eminem reference, Sandlot and Stephen A. Smith. I think we did pretty damn good on this show, my man.
I think we did all right. I think we can wrap it up.
Yes, sir. I'm ready. Man, we appreciate everyone listening. John Radford, the professor. John_Nas, man. Give him a follow. I'm loving this. He was at car shows this past weekend. Island Fights, keeping us up. The man can order a really good order at Dunkin' Donuts. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. any last words, brother?
No, man. We love you guys. Always like to hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening on, or go follow all of them and hit the subscribe button. That'd be even better. But, you know, we love doing what we're doing, man. And we appreciate all you guys listening. Dave, always a pleasure, my brother. Always a pleasure. Absolutely. I appreciate you. And, this weekend was a blast and can't wait to talk more about fights.
Absolutely, man. And, I'm going to end it off on Stanley Tippins. God dang, you're a big boy. Woo!
Oh, you are a big man.
That's a man right there, guys. All right, man. We're out. Have a good day. We'll talk to you guys soon. Continue blessings. Peace.